broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Veterans Connect Radio. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Skolnick and Ryan Redhawk. Hello and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Veterans Connect Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Ryan Redhawk, and that's Brandon Skolnick.
Hey, Ryan, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Episode 20 here today.
Number 20.
Number 20, the fifth day of December 2016. Make sure you are following us on Twitter, at VetConnectRadio. We like to use the hashtag VetsConnect, and leave us your thoughts, questions for our guests, or comments on the show. We're very social media friendly. Check us out on Facebook as well, at Veterans Connect Radio. So, Brandon, what's new with you?
Oh, nothing much. Got my tree up this weekend.
You did?
Yeah. Were you able to get that done?
I got a Christmas tree up as well. You do a real tree or a fake tree?
Do a real tree.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And how tall is it?
It's like 8 feet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, that was kind of interesting getting that into my house by myself.
But, yeah. You know. Very good. And we had our Veterans Connect Radio party last Friday night at Sharpshooters. Want to say thanks to Keith, marketing manager out there, and Tom, the owner, for making that happen. We had over 40 people show up.
Yes, we did. It was actually a really great time. I was a little, worried that it, because it's our first event and never held an event at a shooting range before. But everybody seemed to have a really great time. And employees at Sharpshooters, they're really accommodating.
So right. Awesome. What surprised me the most was everybody brought their wife or their girlfriend.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of unexpected attendees there that were first-time shooters, not really experienced shooters, and were brought along. And so we want to encourage that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And take your wife or your girlfriend shooting.
The Sharpshooters is a really nice place. You know, a lot of guests that had never been there before were just shocked at how nice of a establishment it was.
Yeah, very veteran friendly over there. You get discounted lane times any day of the week if you're a veteran, and they're always hosting different specials and sales for veterans as well. So go to sharpshootersusa.com for more information, and you can follow them on Facebook and Twitter as well, Sharpshooters USA in Roswell. All right, we got a great episode, like I said, episode 20 here today. A little bit later on the program, we're going to get to visit with Mike Hillard from Georgia Aquarium Veterans Immersion Program. We look forward to speaking with him. But first up on Veterans Connect Radio here today, we're going to talk with Mr. Dan Sharon, Executive Vice President and Head of Global Business Solutions for a little company called First Data. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing great today. Thanks for having me.
How was your weekend?
It was a great week, and we didn't get a tree, though.
Get any shopping done?
Well, no, I think my wife did plenty of that for us.
Good. So we got plenty more weekends to get your tree.
Absolutely.
Or get your shopping done before the holiday season. So very excited about that. So tell us a little bit about First Data, if you would, please.
You know, First Data, Atlanta company, Fortune 500 company right here in Atlanta. And a lot of people don't know about First Data, but we process close to $2 trillion around the world for payments.
Oh, that's it?
We do it for government entities, financial institutions, as well as about 6 million merchants around the world. So it's a big company that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, no, a global company headquartered right here in Atlanta.
Yep.
And have been in business for a number of years and really, I think, help anchor Atlanta as a global payment processing hub.
It is. We are the largest. There's other companies here. Atlanta is a major hub for payment processing, and First Data is obviously the largest company doing that.
And Dan, how long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company almost 2 years.
2 years. Prior to that, what were you doing?
I was with J.P. Morgan Chase and a like company.
All right. That. And prior to that, he was in the Air Force for many, many years. What was your job in the Air Force?
Actually, I was in the Army. My dad was in the Air Force.
Father spent his career in the Air Force. See, I got to read these notes, Brandon. Terrible here.
Right.
You were in the Army. West Point graduate.
Yeah, yes,
West Point.
I was.
Okay.
Yep. I was a combat engineer. So I spent went to West Point, as you heard, and then then I was a combat engineer for 5 years.
So the reason to serve was in the family, right? Were you forced into that role?
I don't think I was forced into the role. I think I just grew up in it. I had for the first half of my life a military ID card. I was a military brat, so I lived all around the world, and that's what I knew. And knew well. So it was a natural extension to say, okay, let's just keep going and go to college. And my brother had already gone to West Point. His sister is at the Air Force. So it was a natural thing for us. We probably didn't know any better.
Do your kids plan on going and following the same path as their family?
They are. And my nephews, I've got a son that's an Army ROTC. So I'm trying to keep them away from the Navy. You know, they beat
that's
us for
fair.
15 years. So this weekend is, I'm hoping for a change to that.
Well, you and me both.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so you spent 5 years as a combat engineer, do you kind of miss it at all, or are you happy with your path, or did you...
Oh no, I'm definitely happy with my path. I wouldn't change any of the things that I did in my time in the military. I think it set you up a lot of ways for many aspects of your life, not just business, but a lot of different things. I don't think I'd change one thing.
Yeah. You know, I have a question. So, and this is kind of maybe something we can ask or that may help veterans out there in general. So you kind of left one company. Now you're working for First Data. Is there any kind of animosity when you leave one corporation for another corporation?
No, I don't think there's animosity. I think where I was, and and it's an interesting story. It really, veterans is how I got to First Data.
Really,
so I finished up. I was retiring, going to spend some time, and met our CEO Frank Bisignano, who's very started a lot of major things from the 100,000 jobs mission, and then here. And he says, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to work on veterans' causes." Really? That's where my passion is, and I've been lucky enough to get in this position in life, and I wanted to focus. He goes, "Well, why don't you stay in business and do that together? We can do all of that right here at First Data." And so that was a major pull for me to get to First Data.
Wow. And so, and how has that developed? What are some of the things that First Data is doing for veterans?
Well, we have a program. It's called First Data Salutes. And I actually got a coin for you. Actually, there you
Wait,
go.
Wait, look at this. Wow. A challenge coin.
There you go. A challenge coin.
Nice. So thank you, sir.
You got that. Remember that when you're out and if
First
I see
Data
you.
So. Yes, definitely.
First Data Salutes. So really, First Data Salutes and First Data, we have three pillars for our program. The first is employment. I'm really excited to say that approximately 15% of all of our new employees are veterans.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, it's improved by 10% over the last couple of years.
And that's not an accident, though. You've made a specific effort to employ veterans.
We do. We have dedicated recruiting teams. We hire veterans. We have folks that go out to all the different posts and job career fairs and things of that nature. So that's the first thing is employment. I think we do a great job there. The other piece is education. And we have a relationship with Syracuse University. And I don't know if you've heard of the Institute for Veterans and Military Families. So they've got a great program there. We support them. We're really focused on education and transitional education for veterans getting into the business world. And the last piece is really entrepreneurship. And if you think about the 100,000 jobs mission, it started with three or four or five different big companies. Now it's hundreds of companies and well over hundreds of thousands of people have been hired. And we said, you know what, maybe there's a better way of actually helping veteran-owned businesses. Let them hire veterans and sort of the force multiplier effect,
yes,
if you will, you know, from the old Army days. And that's where we started with launching the Coalition of Veteran-Owned Businesses, which is a bunch of like companies. One great company right here in Atlanta, SunTrust, is our partner in that as well, through the IVMF and helping small business and veterans-owned businesses get started. And we got some great success stories there.
Really? So do you not just something fun like a tech company, but are you also helping out or getting involved with the lawn care companies and the carpenters and the guys that kind of keep grinding on despite how fun, say, like a tech company work would be?
Yeah, I mean, we work with if you look at our company, we work with, when you got 6 million businesses we work with, they run from very, very large companies that you know about all the way down to the corner store. So, with our technology and the changing with technology, with the phone that you got in front of you and all the rest of the stuff, it's changing how people pay. It's changing how business is done. And that's what we do.
All right.
Provide that technology.
So that First Data, the First Data Veterans Program, they can help you even if you're, a two-man lawn care company. Or you're, some big IT firm, right?
Mm-hmm. We can run the full gamut. When you process $2 trillion almost, you're hitting pretty much everybody.
I think
the number is like 10% of the U.S. Gross domestic product runs across our technology. It's amazing that people don't know us, but for the small business guys, we have a new technology product called Clover. You got my Navy guy right next to you, Tim Ferrison, who heads up that program and works directly with small business, veteran-owned small business owners. And we provide the technology, the hardware. We give them free processing on Veterans Day and things of that nature and really help them get started.
Wow.
What is a pain point that a veteran business owner is having that he knows, hey, I need some solutions to this, that they can then pick up the phone and call you?
Yeah, I think the best place is to go to www.firstdatasalutes.com, and all of this stuff is outlined for them, and we've got some numbers there to call. All we need is a call, really, or a text or a message, and we get the team. And the team is all veterans. So one of the things we found is let's get veterans talking to veterans.
That's a good idea.
It's that, that language, if you will. You know, you learn a lot in the military, then you start talking that way when you're out in the business world, and sometimes that doesn't cross over. So we've got Tim and his team are all veterans. And they work directly with veterans. So.
But what is that pain that they're having that they know they need to pick up the phone to call you? You know, are they experiencing some accounting issues or business solution issues?
I think it's around accepting payments, and our product can handle a lot of different things. It's a platform. But if you're accepting credit cards, debit cards, gift cards, things of that nature, which pretty much almost every business now is doing, we've got a platform and a technology that enables that to happen.
Yeah, so if you're having trouble keeping up with payments or receiving them or efficiently processing them, that's where you can step in and provide those solutions.
And we do a lot of them, yes, sir.
Yeah, very good.
And jumping over to the employment side for veterans, you said 15% of your workforce are veterans. What kind of jobs are those?
Well, our jobs, we're Fortune 500 companies, so they run from all the way from manufacturing, because we do plastics and statements, technology, security, accounting. We can cover pretty much everything.
Well, wow. I mean, but that's really great to know. A veteran, you think, you know, First Data, do I have to be an accountant?
It sounds like pretty much everything.
You need everything, and everything is possible.
Yeah, it's like my first job when I started in the industry. They said, "What'd you do?" And I said, "I was a combat engineer." And I still remember the HR lady looking up, and she goes, "Well, what skills do you have that came from combat engineer?" And I said, "We blew stuff up."
Wow.
And she says, "I don't think we have that." So outside of that, I think we've got pretty much everything else covered.
Yeah. Great deal.
Right, but it sounds like First Data not only is hiring veterans, but they have a plan to continue to do this. Some companies hire a couple of veterans and they say, "Oh, we're a veteran-friendly organization." But this is a true initiative from the ground up and continuing to evolve, and that happens year after year.
Yeah, I don't think it's really more an initiative. It's part of who we are. It's our DNA.
Wow.
And you know, it starts from the top with our CEO Frank Bisignano, as well as the overall team. So it's part of who we are. And, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, well, you're doing these nice things." It's really good business. What we find with veterans and working in a team environment, mission-oriented, focused on objectives, and, you know, those kind of things. Those are just, they make incredible owner associates. All of our folks that work at First Data are owners of the company. So
oh, really?
It's part of the thing. So it's a real team-oriented kind of world we got there.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely a part of the culture there.
It is.
And when the veterans come on board to work there, I'm sure they're mingling with other veterans right away and feeling a welcome from day one.
We do. We have employee resource groups, we call them, and it's called the MAG group, which is Military Affinity Group, which we have now 1,000+ folks in 10 different locations. So we actually link everybody together through that employee resource group. So when folks come in, they've got other people that have come from that same background, and they're part of a group. And then we meet with them, and I meet with them periodically as it relates to things we can do better as a company, not just internally, but externally in the veterans community.
Now, I imagine connecting with veterans, is good to do on an individual level. Are there any associations or veterans groups that you like to partner with to help reach more at a time?
Well, we're doing that. There's many and all, if you will. I think that's the big thing is getting the word out about First Data and what we're doing in the military community and the veteran community. It runs the gamut from the things that we've done with the Syracuse folks to we have multiple relationships. Getting on the radio with you today.
That's right.
Here you go.
Sure.
Here's a part of it.
Yeah. No, connecting with the veterans personally, individually, but we know there's a lot of groups out there that are business oriented, socially oriented, that veterans are plugged into, and it's a great way to kind of help get the word out through those channels.
Yeah, and if you want us to come, we'd be more than happy to sit down with whatever your group is and tell a little bit about First Data and show you what we can do to help your businesses grow and maybe even thrive. You know, a lot of them are growing. Early stage companies need, you know, one of the things I found dealing with veterans and small business owners is they're not looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand. And, you know, they know their business and things of that nature. But sometimes this part of the business sometimes can be sort of overwhelming.
Of course.
We try to simplify it. And we've got basically a small business in a box technology solution that you can just plug in and we'll help you get up and running real quick.
Wow. Wow.
Or if you're an existing company and you're trying to say, how do I accept, you know, Apple Pay?
Right.
You know, people are coming in now with their phones and saying, how do I accept Apple Pay? we can help them get that done too. So that's, things continue fair. To change.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what Apple Pay is, so that's good to know that we can.
Brandon, well, I don't know how old you are, but if you were like in the 20s, you'd know what Apple Pay is. That's how the young people are paying.
He's behind the times when it comes to technology over here.
He's looking for Christmas trees,
I think. He just started on Facebook last week, I think.
Right? Yeah, I did start a Facebook.
But you guys provide all this kind of back-end support for a solopreneur, veteran, to get their business growing and evolving from there.
Yeah, we can take it from a startup, existing company, multi-location company, a regional company, all the way up to a national company. We talk about it's doing good because you're helping veterans and then they're helping other veterans and things of that nature. But we think it's good business as well. And it's doing good business. So.
Well, First Data is a huge resource here in Atlanta for small business owners and particularly for veterans as well and veteran business owners. They're in our backyard. So if you haven't connected with them already, now is the time to do so.
Absolutely.
And then helping businesses all around the country and around the world. You know, you may have a veteran who started a business and I was stationed in Germany and I know some of my friends got out of the service and stayed over there. Married a German girl and stayed.
Yeah, we do it there too.
That's
so
good.
The best way, like I said, just go to www.firstdatasalutes.com and you can see that and connect with us and we'd love to help you out.
Yeah, definitely. And First Data on Twitter and Facebook, and First Data Salutes is the program, particularly if you're a veteran or veteran business owner and would like to get involved with that. So thank you so much, Dan, for joining us. Please stay with us as we visit with our next guest.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's remind our listeners again to connect with us on Twitter at VetConnectRadio. And we like to use the hashtag VetConnect. All right. Let's introduce to the microphone now, Michael Hillard from Georgia Aquarium.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And you're an Army guy as well, right?
I am.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I joined in 2004 as an infantryman. I was stationed at Fort Campbell with the 101st Airborne. I was in the 2nd Battalion 506 Kurahi Infantry Regiment, and where I deployed. My first deployment was to Iraq in 2005, 2006. April 7th, 2006, I was shot in the left side of the head, and where I was medevaced and did a nice little stint at Walter Reed. Once I was released from there, I rejoined my guys, re-enlisted, went to Afghanistan with them. And from there, got voluntold to go on recruiting duty. And that's pretty much where my career ended.
So you got shot in the head in 2006.
I did.
You didn't see it coming, did you?
No. It moves kind of fast.
Yeah, right. You should have ducked when you were dodging or something like that. So, that, put you in a perspective and a time to reflect at Walter Reed. And then you decided to re-enlist.
I did.
That's very powerful.
When you're away from your guys and you've spent so much time together, you lose that or you miss that brotherhood. And so when you get back with them and you find out they're going back again, you definitely want to go with them and experience everything and help out where you can. And so I was able to do that.
No, I feel the same. As our listeners know, I was wounded in 2008 and I spent 2 years in rehab and getting back. But all I kept thinking about was I literally left all those guys in a moment, never saw them again. Some of it's been 10 years now that I've never, but I mean, I would go back in a heartbeat to see these guys if I could. So you are kind of removed from that situation very quickly, and then you're left wondering about everybody else. And so then you reenlisted. Then they said, hey, you're going out on the recruiting trail. And you said, that's not for me.
Hey, it wasn't for me. I think that's pretty much the worst thing you could do to an infantry guy is put him behind a desk.
Yeah.
Yes, but many suffer that fate.
Yeah.
I know. And some do it because the pay and the low pace of lifestyle, or maybe the quicker way to make rank, especially in the infantry, you can get rank a little quicker if you go on the trail there. But still, it's not a fun job.
No, it definitely isn't. And you lose a lot of that camaraderie because now you're in that whole business type of world and you're competing against one another. And you don't have that love for one another that you do when you're deploying and spending time out in the field and just going through all those hard times of being cold, wet, and hungry.
Yeah, right.
But it did have its plus side to it as well, as that, it helped me reintegrate while still being in the military. I was able to deal more on the civilian side and that benefited when I did get out.
Yeah. So you're able to lose a little of that edge that you have to have when you're a combat guy.
Exactly.
And then you're back into the civilian world, mellow out a little easier. But then you transitioned and you had a lot of paths to go there. We talk about this all the time, when guys or girls get out of the military, go to work for yourself, go to work for someone else, or sit at home on the couch. Yeah. The third one's not an option.
Yeah,
so you're either going to do it in your own business or go work for someone else.
Yeah, exactly. And, when you get out, you are kind of lost because you don't have that big military guy telling you where to be at what time and what to wear. So now it all falls on you.
Yeah.
And you have to go out and you have to make it, you make the moves and all that stuff. And if you don't, if you just kind of get a little lazy and sit on the couch, you end up finding yourself going into a dark deep hole.
Yep.
And, you know, some get out, some don't. And, but that's what we're here to do as the Georgia Aquarium, is to get them out of the house, get them off their couch, and kind of reintroduce a civilian life and let them know that they could go out of their scope and achieve things that they thought that they could never achieve.
So working for the Georgia Aquarium, that was your first job out of the service?
That was my first job out of the service.
How did you even know that was available?
I didn't.
Tell us about that.
So, you know, I didn't even know, I didn't even think I would like diving, but I was down in the Dominican and, you know, this Dominican fellow came up to me and asked me if I wanted to go on a dive. I said, sure, why not? And as soon as my head went under the water, it just completely changed my life. And it introduced me to a world that I've never known. And, you know, I had absolutely no bad memories of. And so that kind of released a lot of the chips that I had on my shoulder or the pressure. And so when I got back to the States, I decided that, you know, I'm going to make this a career thing or a hobby at first and then a career thing. Mm-hmm. And I did that once they medically retired me. I had plans of, you know, seeing the world. I went back to Arizona and just started mountain biking and reconnecting with some friends that got out a while ago. And then I was going to go and island hop. And my wife called me and told me that she was pregnant with our first child. So the island hopping completely just disappeared.
I bet it did. Yeah, immediately.
Exactly. And she's from Atlanta. So all of her family's here, and being our first child.
So it kind of made you set up shop in Atlanta. You've been to Atlanta before?
Well, I was up in Gainesville when I was recruiting.
Right.
So
okay.
I was familiar with it.
Is that where you met your wife?
No, I met her up in Fort Campbell, actually.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But yeah, no matter how hard I try to get out of Georgia, it keeps dragging me back, which I love now.
Yes.
But yeah, so I came back to Atlanta and I was looking for dive jobs, which there's not a whole lot of diving jobs in
a landlocked city.
Exactly. So I just so happened to come across the Georgia Aquarium and that they were looking for a dive master. And so I went ahead and applied for it, sent in my resume, and everything worked out. And got the position, and that's where I found out that they had a military program helping wounded vets.
Right, but it wasn't to the level it is now. You were a big part of taking it to where it is today and helping so many wounded veterans get in the water and through the Veterans Immersion Program.
Yeah, I think so. My boss, Susan Oglesby, which is a CTRS, and you know, her whole position on life is recreation and having fun, and you know, her father was in World War II, and so she kind of has that allegiance to the military family. And but me being there, being able to voice as a veteran and what we're looking for, what we need, definitely helped bring more veterans in and kind of wrap their heads around of you know, what we need as veterans, wounded veterans.
And the program has been around since 2008 and has hosted over 2,200 military personnel since then. And they have the largest team of handicapped scuba association certified dive masters and instructors in the world.
Wow. In the world, yes.
Yeah. So so lots of good things down there. You know, Brandon, I went and did this about 6-8 weeks ago.
Yes, you did. How was it?
I was blown out of the world. I'd never thought I was going to have that much fun. And
really?
I don't like scuba per se because I go underwater and my ears start hurting. I've tried that before. But I did the snorkeling part and just going in the water. I wanted to last all day.
Yeah,
it seemed like it went by so quickly, but we were in there for 45 minutes.
Wow. So tell us, what do you think, you know, makes this experience so great, especially for these wounded veterans or these disabled veterans?
Well, like I said,
veterans?
You know, when I went under, it took, it was a new role.
Yeah.
So I was creating new memories.
Really?
And so as we walk around, you know, a veteran sees a piece of trash on the road or whatnot that's been blown up, that automatically starts a little bit of anxiety going in him. He doesn't have that in the water.
Right.
You know, nobody's been hurt, you know, in that kind of situation. In
our exhibit.
So when they go in and they see these animals swimming around, surviving and just kind of gracefully gliding around, you know, it takes their mind off of everything that they have outside of the water, and they're able to create these memories inside.
So it's just a kind of a new and overwhelming experience, and you just kind of depart from the physical world in a sense.
Yeah, your
right?
senses are, you know, you don't hear anything. The only thing is visually, you hear your own heartbeat and breathing. You're kind of forced to look inward when you're underwater like
that. Very interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Very exciting. So what's next for you in the program in 2017?
Oh, we got a lot of big moves. Team Red, White, and Blue is going to be joining us in 2017 as some of our guests. Like you said, in 2008, we put 36 veterans in. And, this year we've reached up to over 600, which we'll put in as a total since start date is 287 groups of military veterans. And that ranges from everybody. You don't have to be wounded. We do partner with Fort Benning, Fort Stewart, and we're part of the reintegration process for the WTBs and so forth. And we also deal with accidents that happen while they're back in garrison, or SMTs, sexual military traumas and stuff like that. So it's I want to make clear that you don't have to be wounded to join it, but you do have to be part of a group, i.e. Wounded Warrior Project, Team Red, White, and Blue, the VA. The VA has been huge with us in Atlanta. We have probably about three or four of their programs coming through. So our thing is just kind of expanding that. We also are going to be starting a peer military veteran volunteer program for those veterans that are nervous on getting outside of the house, working around people that aren't necessarily going to get them if they do have anxiety problems or anything like that. But it's going to be all veterans together. That way they can lean on one another and kind of help one another out. If one person's having a bad day, another veteran could come in and assist them, and calm them down or, relieve them. That way they could go get their head together.
Yeah, that's great. The George Aquarium is volunteers are equal to the staff down there.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to volunteer. And if you could have veterans volunteering to help other veterans, you'd be knocking it out of the park with that.
Yeah, of course.
Volunteers outreach the paid staff by far. Yeah.
So. Wow.
That's great. So definitely coming on the program, getting more word out, connecting with more veterans. And just to clarify, you don't have to be combat wounded to be in the program. Just be part of one of the organizations or outreach groups in the area.
Yeah, and the Team Red, White, and Blue, they just run around all day.
Well, they do a lot of social activities. Of
physical
5Ks. CrossFit, yeah, stuff like that.
Running on the street.
You get a free shirt just by going to the website and signing up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, if they're out there diving, and obviously you can just be a part of any veteran group and you can get into this program, right?
Yes, definitely.
That's pretty cool. I wanted to bring up one thing to our listenership and just something to take away as a veteran transitioning. It sounds like your hobby became your career, and would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. It kind of took on different legs. I had no idea that I was going to be part of the a veteran program when I joined the Georgia Aquarium team, and but since I have, I have my own selfish reasons as well. When bringing other veterans around and stuff like that I could connect with. And, I watch them come in and they're just stone faced. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't want to do it. Or I'm nervous about doing it. But when they get out of the water and they have smiles and you see that new bit of life in them, it's priceless.
Yeah, of course.
So, that has definitely fulfilled me.
Yes. And to think about it, to bring it back around is, when you're getting out or as you're getting out, a couple years before you're getting out, you start exploring different, hobbies, right? And those hobbies could turn into something. So, utilize some of that downtime, those four-day weekends and things like that to go out and dive or bike or, get into
the garage. Talk about that a lot on the show is that you got to find that new passion in life. Serving your country was a passion. Being around others and doing a good work was a passion. But now you've got to find a new direction, a new passion in life, and that may be your hobby.
Yeah.
If you can turn that into a career, then you move more power to you. That's what we're doing here with Veterans Connect Radio, right?
That's right.
It's a hobby of talking on the microphone, and now we're 20 episodes into this thing.
That's true.
So I can't believe it. And so that's good. So the veterans are getting connected. The families can get involved, too. So when I was out there was families down in the tunnel that were taking pictures of the divers as they went over, and then they got to be part of the behind-the-scenes tour and everything, too. I think that's a big part of the element as well.
No, definitely, yeah. The veterans aren't the only ones that sacrificed. The family members do as well. And we've also incorporated a Gold Star program in our program, veteran immersion program, to bring in widowed spouses or widowers, and they're able to do the swims and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think so often they're forgot about, And we just want to let them know that they're not forgotten about.
Yeah, now there was a guy on the group that I was with, had severe PTSD, has been going through a lot of treatment, had tried his attempt to go in the aquarium two times before, but it didn't work. The mask or just the environment, he just would not handle it well. So we had to get out. They said, come back when you're ready. And he was his third time there. They had two divers attending to him, and he made it through the whole time. Wow. When he got out, man, it was like the biggest accomplishment he's had in past several years of his life. But it took the open arms and the open heart of Georgia Aquarium and his kind of dedication to getting better, and it worked.
Yeah.
And so and we were all hugging at the end of that, so it felt great. So if there's a veteran out there looking to get involved and learning more about it, how would they do so?
Just go in and look within the veteran programs around Atlanta. Like I said, Team Red, White, and Blue, Wounded Warrior Project, through the VA. And we even work with Shepherd Center, Shepherd Share, and, you know, just kind of ask about the program, and I'm sure you'll be able to they'll get you a spot.
And what about if you're a business or organization out there, want to get a group of veterans out there or kind of team it up? Can you do that as well?
We haven't really started as far as like a company getaway or anything like that. That's something that we'll probably end up discussing throughout the year. And that might be something that will happen in 2018.
Well, that sounds good to me. So if listeners want to get in touch, go to georgiaaquarium.com or .org?
.org.
.org. And then the veterans.
/veterans.
/veterans. All right. Sounds good to me. And this will kind of bring us into our last segment of the show where we talk about Atlanta and all the good things going on around town for veterans. A great opportunity for veterans to get out there and get connected. You know, I'm a member of Team Red, White, and Blue. And next Saturday, we're going to a glass blowing Christmas ornament thing at Decatur, and it's an ugly sweater thing. You're not going?
No, I'm not going to that.
All right, but they're always doing something. With
if there's anything that involves physical activity, I'm a spectator.
You're going to be sitting down making an ornament.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll go then. Right, yeah, I'll check it out.
So any other organizations are out there? I know we've partnered with Vetlanta as well and done some work with them and just trying to help get the word out about all the good work here in Atlanta. And so, Dan, I'm sure you're a member of the West Point Society of Atlanta.
I am.
Yeah. How's that going?
That's going great. I think we've got a lot of people here. You know, you look at Georgia, we have a lot of military installations around here. It's a great organization. We actually did some stuff with the Shepherd Center with building out some things across the street for military families and stuff. So very good organization focused on doing the right thing. So
yeah, and those West Point guys, man, they stick together.
Oh, yeah.
They support each other for years after the service.
It's like the Skull and Crossbone Society.
Yeah, well, it's got a little bit of that, I guess. it's a veterans thing. One of the things I've enjoyed, and, you know, we talk about doing stuff for veterans and being around veterans and finding businesses that have the same kind of what I call ethos as it relates to, you know, serving your country, serving your community, serving your city. It's all about service and being around people that are focused on that. So I enjoy that.
And you think we're doing okay here in Atlanta as a whole, as a veterans community?
I think we are. We've got a tremendous amount of things going on. I mean, if you look around Atlanta, I just happened to be at the Falcons game, the game before the last one in the Falcons. You know, they had the service day there. And I think what you're seeing is more and more people realizing not just like the focused on the altruistic side of it, but, you know, the business side and things of that nature. And recognizing what a great asset we have in veterans and the veteran community, not just for the city, but for the country, and embracing that and actually bringing that into what you do each and every day in your businesses and whatnot. And I applaud Georgia Aquarium for what you're doing. It's fantastic work. I'm going to actually get into coming down with the team of folks to go see that and applaud them for that as well.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, you know, there's a you know, the organizational side, the volunteer side, the social side, but we got to also do the business side. So that's a really good point you brought up there.
Yeah, and the business side of hiring veterans, connecting veterans, and providing those services to veterans here in Atlanta so they can stay here and we continue to recruit more veterans to the city. You know, it's always surprised me that Georgia is a huge military state.
Oh, it's massive.
But Atlanta is still not ranked in the top 20 military towns, which I don't understand. We're working hard to get it there, and it's soon top 10. But we're a huge military state here in Georgia.
Yeah. Did you get anything?
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought you had a thought there.
Yeah. For you, Mike, in Atlanta, I mean, do you get out and do anything outside the Georgia Aquarium with veterans, or do you have any groups that we're not aware of that we should be?
I don't really get with other groups, but I do, you know, go hunt and stuff like that on my days off and invite other other guys that have served and whatnot. So I'm still in that group. I just haven't reached out to the getting involved in the other groups yet.
No, but you've mentioned a couple times a theme that we always touch back on is just get out of the house.
Yep.
You know, if you have a battle buddy who you think is not doing well, give them a call and invite them to the aquarium or invite them out to an event because there's a lot of veterans who do need help. And they may be out there listening today, but they just can't do it on their own. So it may take somebody strong-willed and strong-minded and an open heart to get out there.
I think that's probably the most important thing is, you know, like I said, is putting your hand out and reaching out to your fellow, you know, comrades and whatnot, and whether it be business, whether it be an event or whatnot. It doesn't take a lot, but it has a pretty big impact.
Absolutely. And I think it spans all generations as well. You know, we've got some Vietnam era guys, we've got some Gulf War veterans, and now we have some post 9/11 veterans, but we're all veterans.
Yeah. And, you know, every veteran between there, right? So the non-war veterans are just as much veterans as a wartime veteran, right?
That's true.
So it is, you commit to service, you're a part of the group, you know? So we can't forget everybody that, that goes out there every day. Even now, you know, a lot of guys getting out now actually haven't deployed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's all right. You joined and you volunteered your time, your service, and what you got out of it, is invaluable.
Absolutely. So. And you served your country. Now it's time for come home and you serve your community.
Yeah, of course.
And whether you're getting a job or you're starting a business or you just got something fun to share, we'd love to feature you here on Veterans Connect Radio. Again, let's tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you.
So, First Data, just go to www.firstdatasalutes.com, and we have our three pillars of what we do for veterans: the employment, the education, and help you with your small business and big business and on entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and you look forward to more great things. Thank you so much for the coin, First Data Salutes. I'll put a picture of it later on our social media. And go for there. And we look forward to more great things from you and First Data in 2017.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us here.
All right, Mike, tell us how we can get involved down there at Georgia Aquarium.
Yeah, go on to www.georgiaaquarium.org/veterans, and that will bring you to the veterans page and tell you a lot more about what we're doing. And if you want to donate, which I also have to thank the Home Depot Foundation, they are pretty much funding us to keep this going along with Choate.
Definitely. Choate Construction, Home Depot. Yeah. Great supporters of veterans in Atlanta. We've talked with Miller Choate in here. Yeah.
Okay.
He's been on the program before. Great guy. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mike. And let me just remind our listeners, today's episode has been brought to you by Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show or conference? Well, now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Engaging a target audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or an event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com. Brandon, we'll be back next week for episode 21.
We got all the guys from Shark Attack on there, correct?
Yep. That'll be on there. Cool. And featuring some other entrepreneurs here in the Atlanta area. And that'll be our final show for 2016.
Yes, it was a good year so far.
Yeah, so far so good. So thank you so much. Follow Brandon on Twitter at Vets and Startups.
Yep. And you basically will see me retweet whatever Ryan puts out there.
All right. And you can find me on all social media platforms as well. Ryan Redhawk. So on behalf of Brandon Skolnick and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, until next time, we'll see you on Veterans Connect Radio.